Okay. So Chevra, we are learning Maseches Sukkah, and one of the things that we've been talking about is this Gezerah called Gezerah's Otsar, meaning that we're worried about somebody who's going to come back from the field at night, will be carrying a bunch of twigs, and the person will put that bunch of twigs on top of the roof in order to have them dry off. And then the person's going to say, wow, that's like such a good idea, you know, maybe I'll use this stuff as schach. So therefore we say, you know what, you can't do that. And in that scenario, it would be a real problem. But based on that scenario of the person who dumps the twigs on the roof, we say that bundles of twigs are never good. You can never use a bundle as schach. It has to be loose schach. It can't be bundled. That's what the Gemara concludes based on this one unusual case of Gezeras Otsar. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara told us last time we learned that this din is a din derabanan, as opposed to the case of Hachote Tvigadesh, the case of somebody who has like a big pile of hay and you rake it out. So in that case, it's a Pseudo Oraisa of Ta'asav Lomen Ha'asoi. Over here, it's not a Pseudo Oraisa. It would be a din d'oraisa if you actually were that doofus of a person who dumped the bundle of schach on your roof. But this case is a din d'rabanan because it's a gezeira atu, that doofus type of case. That's basically what we learned last time. Is that correct? Are we up to, right? Everyone's here? So the Gemara says that, how do you know which case is d'oraisa and which case is d'rabanan? So the Gemara says, well, in our Mishnah on Yud Beis, we say chavilei kash ein mesachchen bahen. The expression that's used is don't use it as schach. However, the case of hachotit begadish, the lashon over there is ein asuka. So if it says ein asuka, then it's a pseudo oraisa. But if it says ein mesachchen bahen, that's only a psul drabanan. That's what the Gemara says. Meaning, if it's a din d'oraisa, you would say it's not good at all. Ein asuka. If you say ein mesachchen, it sounds like that's a din drabanan. Now, the way we have the text, I believe we began this last week a little bit, is the way we have the Gemara at the bottom line. It says, ein mesachchen bahen lechatchila, right? That means that b'di'eved, it would be okay. That if I use a bundle as schach, I should just note just one tiny detail of an issue. There's a machlokes harishonim, how big is a bundle? The bottom tosis on your base on Aleph says a bundle has to be 25 twigs. Other Rishonim based on Gemara's later on say a bundle has to be 3 twigs. This is only relevant because since it's a Gezerah Drabanan, we only make the Gezerah in a case that normal people do it. So if a normal bundle, right, what are you worried about? You're worried about this guy to come back from the field at night and put the bundle schach on the roof to dry off, etc. That only makes sense if it's a normal size bundle. And then there's machlokes, how big is a normal size bundle? 3 or 25? That's the issue. But our Gemara says, the way we have the text in the Gemara, it's ein mesachchen bahen, it sounds like lechatchila. That would imply that's good b'di'eved. And Tosis totally does not like this. Tosis says, no, ein mesachchen bahen b'tchila, Mishum Gezeras Otsar Lo Garsinon. Zotosvis, we do not have the Girsa Bitchila. We don't have the Girsa to Lechatchila. Lo Garsin Lechatchila. Did the Ever Nami Lo Mahani Midrabonon? Midoka Amar Homida Oraisa Shapir Dami. Mashma Avo Midrabonon Lo. Right, Tosis is saying that what our Gemara is basically doing is it is contrasting the case of chutet begadish, where you dig in the silo, you dig in that bale of hay, where it's a problem midiraisa. We contrast that with the case of the bundle of stach on the roof, where it's a psul derabanan. The issue in the Gemara is doraisa versus derabanan. That's the issue. It does not say that it's a din lechatzchila versus bidiyaved. If anything, you get the impression that the din, the psul, even by the bundle of schach, even by that bundle of twigs, the psul is derabanan. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Right, the psul is derabanan, but it's even psul bidiyaved. Because the only contrast is whether it's a din lechatzchila or not. That is the Tosis. Now, last time, I have a vague recollection that I ran through this last time, but the Aruch Lener has an interesting comment where the Aruch Lener says, you know what, he thinks that the girsa of Lechatchila actually makes sense. The Aruch Lener is Mechadesh that Dinim Dirabbanon are only applicable if you have no alternative. Or if you have an alternative, a mamish twink tie tonight. The only time something is posul midrabbanan is if you could do it otherwise. But let's say you have no alternative. Let's say you have no choice. This is the only thing you have. So in that situation, we'd allow you to use a psul midrabbanan. Even though the lashon of the Gemara or the halacha seems to be what Tosfos is saying, is that the gezeira means it's even possible with the Yevet. However, the Aruch Lener comments that he thinks it is going to be kosher in a situation where you have nothing else. And his argument goes that every single psul derabanan in the world is going to be kosher in a shas hadchak situation. And last, I don't remember if we mentioned this last time or not, but the Gemara has a machlokas on Yudalid about wide boards, whether a wide board is kosher or schach or not. And the Gemara tells a story. Amar Reb Yehuda, it's Yudalid Amid Beis, in the middle. Reb Yehuda says, Ma'isa b'shasa sakana, that they brought these wide boards and they put them as schach on the merpeset and we sat there. The Gemara says, no, you can't bring a raya from that case. Amrilo, misham raya, ein shasa sakana raya. Meaning that because it's a din derabanan, we are mekel on it b'shasa sakana, right? That case was like, it doesn't really mean dangerous. It just means it was a difficult situation. So all dinim derabanan are basically considered l'chatzchila, says the Aruch Lener, because it would be okay b'shasa d'chak. Did I just lose everybody completely or 95%? Is this something am I wrong? Did we like discuss this last week briefly? I'm getting a lot of blank stares.
We discussed it last week. It's just extremely makel. So it's just interesting.
Okay. I mean, sometimes some people don't mind kulas. Right?
Great.
But yeah, I think the Aruch Lener is chiddush is that because it's a din derabanan, therefore it's going to be kosher b'shas hadachak in the sense of when you have nothing else. Let's continue in this Tosis. V'im tomar. Lo hagabi davar hamakabel tuma ve'ein gidua min ha'aretz katani masnisin ein mesachachin bo af agav de di'eved nami ein asuka afilu mida oraisa. Right, Tosis is saying like this. In our Gemara, or let me ask you to explain what Tosis's kasha is. What's Tosis's kasha from that case on Daf Yud Aleph?
The way I understood this was that first statement of, oh, you know, it's not even good b'di'eved. He's now questioning that and saying the word ein mesachachin doesn't necessarily just mean bidyavid. It could just mean not kosher at all.
Right, so that's That's partially correct. But remember, Tosfos, I think Tosfos' question is that plus more. What's the yesod of our Gemara? Our Gemara is being mechalek between the expression of Ein Mesachachen and the expression of Ein Asuka. Right? Ein Mesachachen means that it's a din derabanan. Ein Asuka means it's a din doraisa. So Tosfos asks Akasha, one second. We learned in the previous Mishnah about Dovah HaMekabel Tuma. Dovah that's not Gidulo Min Ha'aretz. The Lashon over there was Ein Mesachachen. Koshim, right? Turn back to Yud Aleph Amid Aleph in the Mishnah. Koshim Mekabel Tuma, Ve'ein Gidulo Min Ha'aretz, Ein Mesachachen Bo. So Tosfos asking, Ein Mesachachen, that sounds like it's a din derabanan. But we know that davar, that's not gidula min ha'aretz, that's pasul min ha'torah, right? Because of clouds, because of a pasuk in Nechemiah, because of, right, psoles, dagon, whatever the reason is. But it's psodoraisa. So why does it say in mesachachen? And Tosfos is, I don't know how to say this in English. The Yiddish term is bavarning, right? Tosfos is throwing in, and don't tell me that the reason why we say in mesachachen over there is because it is only pasul lechatchila, because in that case it's also a din b'di'eved. Meaning, the idea that Tosfos developed in the first line, that in mesachachen might sound like it's only pasul lechatchila, Tosfos himself does not like that. But he says, well, for argument's sake, let's say that's correct. For argument's sake, let's say that pshat is the correct pshat. But it still won't help me on Daf Yud Aleph. How come on Daf Yud Aleph we say that something that grows on the ground ain't mesachachen when it's a din da'iraisa and it's pasul even b'di'evet? That's why this is kasha. So Tosfos answers the Yesh Lomar, the Shani Hussam, the Lekola Mit'e. What does that mean? Shani Hussam, the Lekola Mit'e.
Here it's teaching us less. We didn't quite understand this, but.
Okay, so Lemit'e means like Taos. So Lekola Mit'e means there's no mistake that you can make. Right? In our case, we have a question. What's the halacha of Gezeiras Otsar? In this case, when you have like the bundle of staff, is that a din derabanan? Is it din doraisa? The case of Acholteit Begodesh, we have a question. Over there, there was no question at all. And since there is no question at all, so therefore you could use an imprecise lashon, you could say, you could say Ein Mesachachen, even though it's a din d'oraisa. I think that's what Tosfos means. I have to admit, though, I don't really understand it. Because what Tosfos is basically saying is, oh yeah, in our Gemara we have a question. And because we have a question, therefore we have to be more precise. But on Daf Yud Aleph, maybe the innocent reader would also have a question, and then maybe we should be more precise over there. I'm not sure what Tosfos means with that line of leka lamite, that you can't make a mistake over there. I don't fully get what Tosfos means. I don't fully get what Tosfos means with that line. I mean, again, if you're in the back of the Gemara, the Maharam of Lublin explains to Tosfos the way I just said it. Now, the word Ein Mesachachen could be Deoraisa or it could be Derabanan. Since in our case, we have a question whether it's Deoraisa or Derabanan, so therefore, we use Ein Mesachachen as opposed to Ein Asuka. If it would have been a Din Deoraisa in our case, we should have said Ein Asuka. Again, I don't fully get it, but In any event, this isn't the part of Tulsus I'm most interested in reading about. Next part of Tulsus. Ume hodik tani masnisin din hoyu mutaros kisheros. Lo matzi le meidak midi. Da afil tchiloso hinichon li yavshon mahani hatarason ki ilu hu ni anua jala'el. Does anyone want to explain this? This line in Tosis, so these five lines. I apologize. I assigned you a Tosis tonight. That's a little bit difficult, but we'll do the best we can. Remember, let's chazer. The question in our Gemara is whether this case of the bundle, is it a din d'oraisa or is it a din d'rabbanan? Right? That's the question in the Gemara? Everyone agreed? Zoktosis, maybe I could be medayek from the Mishnah that it is a din d'rabbanan. Why? Because the Mishnah says that if it's undone, if you undo the bundles, it's going to be kosher. L'cha'ora, that only makes sense if it is a din d'rabbanan. Because if the psul would be d'oraisa, it does not make sense that you could just snip the bundles and have it get undone and make it kosher. So what Tosis is suggesting is, right, let me read it inside. Ume hodik tani masnisin din hayu mutaros ksheros. The fact that our Mishnah says that if it's undone, it's kosher. Lo matzi lemeidak midi. You cannot infer anything from there. Tosis is saying, I would have thought that you could infer from the fact that if you undo it, it's kosher. That would indicate that's a din d'rabbanan. The reason I cannot infer anything, Zoktosis, is that afilu tchiloso hinichon liyavshon mahani hatarason ki iruhu ni anua dela'el. Because even if you put it there, liyavshon, even if you put it there to dry off, which he knows a din d'oraisa, nonetheless, undoing it would still help. Now, this is like a great mystery. How do we make sense of this Tosis? So let's review what we learned before. Do you remember a discussion in the Gemara about whether kitzitzason zuhi asiyason, sikasan zuhi asiyason? When I have to make a sukkah, I have to make tzitzis, is it sufficient if I detach? Right? Let's say you have a vine that's attached to the ground. Can it become kosher just by snipping that vine away from the ground? Or do you have to do ni'anua? Do you have to mix it? Do you have to lift the schach and do the whole schach dance? We paskin that snipping it is not enough, right? Tosfos is inclined that if it would be a din d'oraisa, so for sure snipping it is not enough. But if it would be a din d'rabbanan, perhaps snipping it would help. The whole discussion that we had on Daf Yud Aleph, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, about if kitzitzasan zuhi asiyasan, etc. Tosos entertains the idea that maybe that machlokas is only on the level of d'oraisa. But if something is a psul d'rabbanan, so then for sure you can just snip it and make a kasher. If it's a psul d'rabbanan, so if I just cut it, that's considered the asiyah. So based on that assumption that Tosis has, so let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Kulan shehi tiran kasheros. If you undo the bundle, it's kosher. How could it be kosher if you undo the bundle? Right? Isn't that a passive act? Right? The whole yesod of the sugya and daf yud aleph of tzitzas and zuhas yosin is you have to actively put the schach down. Just snipping it away, doing something passive, doesn't count. So Tosfos says, maybe I could be medayek from our Mishnah that it's a din drabanan. Right? Forget the lashon of ein mesachachin. Just be medayek from the fact that the Mishnah says, if you undo it, it's kosher. So Tosfos answers, no, that's not a good diyuk. The afilu tchiloso hinichon liyavshon mehani hatarosan ki ilu hu ni anu adela el. Even if you put that bundle there to dry it off, if you put the bundle there to dry it off, so snipping it, undoing the bundle would still be matiret. If I put the bundle there to dry it off, that's a psul d'oraisa. Tosa says snipping it will help even if it's a din d'oraisa. Hi, Rachel.
Okay, so...
thank you for stopping my monologue. Yeah.
I could have stopped earlier, maybe I should have. I guess I don't understand the premise that this entirely builds off of, that if it's Durabanan, it's like there's a lighter remedy to the problem. I guess in my mind, it either like should still... I don't know. I guess that's not intuitive to me.
No, I think that's precisely the point that Tosis is making. In other words, this idea that snipping or passive detaching, the fact that detaching is not considered asiya, is not intuitive. Right? If anything, we would have said you have to make a sukkah. So what difference does it make if you put the schach down, if you detach the thing that's attaching the schach? I think intuitively we would have said it's okay. However, there's a din ta'asa that you have to make it in an active sort of way. But Tosfos feels that that halacha is true only, that halacha is true only on dinim d'oraisa. If it's a din d'rabbanan, the way you said it is, we're not as strict, or it's not as severe.
But wouldn't the ta'asa, which is deraita, still be equally applicable? That should still kick in as being a problem.
But remember, this case, excuse me for a second, this case, min ha-Torah, it's going to be kosher anyway, because a bundle of schach is only pasul midrabanan. Right, that's what our Gemara concludes. The fact that only pasul midrabbanan should that should give me more leeway that just snipping it off would be considered an asiya. It would seem logical, says Tosis, that if it's a psul d'oraisa, you have to have more of an active involvement.
So if I understand correctly, it seems, if I understand what you're saying, you're saying that because it was always okay deraita, we don't need to remedy it to the deraita level, because on deraita level there is no remedy. We would only need to remedy it to derabanan level because the issue is only derabanan.
I mean, actually, I think you just gave me a better formulation. On the level of the oraisa, I made this as a kasher sukkah. Right? Because min ha-Torah, I have to put it up. I put it up. I just put it up when there's a bundle. Now it's a psul d'rabanan because it's a bundle. Mm-hmm. I can get rid of the psul d'rabanan just by snipping. On the level of d'rabanan, I don't have to be so nervous that I do another further active placement of the schach. Again, this is all what Tosfos thought initially. Mm-hmm. Right? Tosfos thought that you can be medayik from the Mishnah. The fact that the Mishnah says that sniffing it makes it kosher, that itself should be a proof that the psul is only a psul derabbanan. But then Tosfos moves away from this, and Tosfos says, no, afilu tchilaso hinichon liyavshon, the hatara still helps, like it is ni'anua. Even if you put it there to dry it off, which is a din de oraisa, still snipping is the halachic equivalent of juggling the schach. It's the halachic equivalent of ni'anua. And this is a little hard to understand. How come when the schach is mechubar, which is a psul d'oraisa, I can't just sniff it? But with the bundle of the schach, I'm allowed to just sniff it. What's the difference? Hello, Tanya.
Maybe because it's three-dimensional, so when you snip it, it actually does move. So it replicates the movement of nanua.
Oh, that's interesting. In other words, as opposed to the schach that's attached, when I detach it, it stays in place. Over here, when I snip it, it actually moves. And because it actually moves, the halacha of placement of a schach doesn't really have to be that you place it. It just, or the halacha of ni'anua isn't that you're destroying the sukkah and putting it down. It's just that all the schach falls into place. That type of thing. Maybe.
It might also be that by untying the bundle, it doesn't all fall into place. You need to make rearrangements anyway.
Well, if I need to make rearrangements anyway, so then for sure it would be okay because of those rearrangements that I make later on.
Yeah.
Whatever the explanation for Tosfos is, the Ran disagrees with Tosfos. Right? The Ran on Vav on the Beis Bedapei Harif. Right, it's like the, in my Gemara, it's like the second wide line in the Ran. They're skinny, medium wide, and very wide. It's the second very wide line. V'mhikiran tisheros. Zok the Ran, the kevan delo asiri elo mishum gezeira de chavira. This is only din derabban, on the kshitiran lo michlufi she'ino de miyabesh chavira muteres. Since it's only din derabban, it's only gezeira. When you undo it, so then there's no longer room for a gezeira. The gezeira is because somebody's going to come back from the field at night, try to dry off her schach. So then it's a psul d'oraisa. But you only do that when it's a bundle and still attached. In this case, once it's detached, it's not at all like the case of the case that's d'oraisa, the case of the chavila, which is really a problem. Now, the Ran is saying that we only allow the snipping because it's a psul d'rabbanan, which is against the conclusion of Tosfos, where Tosfos says we allow the snipping even if it's a din d'oraisa. And in the Shulchan Aruch, in Taf Resh Chav Tes Se'if Yud Zayin, right, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you do schach in sikech b'chavila v'hitira k'shera, if you put a bundle up and you undo it, it's kosher. Kevan she'ein isura ela mishum gezeira. Since it's a drabonon, that's why undoing it is going to be okay. But if you put it up there liyabesh, if you put the bundle up there to dry it off, in which case it's a din d'oraisa, it's psula min haTorah, so then eina niteres b'haTorah, ela tzricha ni'anua, then you have to actually shake it, then it does not suffice to undo it. So Shulchan Aruch is beferish against Tosfos.
So I don't know really what the concept means, but we've talked about how a Durabanan is ke'ena deraisa, like when they're gozer it.
Yeah.
Could that, does that apply for a negative derabanan, and could that fit in here?
In iser derabanan, every derabanan is like modeled after the oraisa, so the iser derabanan should be modeled after the oraisa also. I'm just trying to get into your train of thought, and therefore?
Therefore, it should take the same remedying, the same means of remedying. And then the tasa below minha asui on the deraisa level is rectified this way. So therefore, on a derabanan level, it should be rectified this way. But I don't know if that's how Kain deraisa works.
So that would be against this entire sugya. In other words, everyone is saying that if it's a din derabanan, you could snip it, right? The question is, can you also snip it on the din d'oraisa?
Right.
Right. Your argument would be that you should always have to do ni'anua. So I'm not exactly sure what to make of this, but you get the impression from Tosfos that, again, the case where you have to shake it is if I have schach that's attached to the ground. In that case, really, I am not doing anything on the schach. Right? What I'm doing is I'm acting on the ground. As opposed to our case when I have a bundle of schach, I am acting on the schach in that I have to be standing on a ladder as if to do it. My guess is, again, I'm making this up. I'm not sure this is what Tosis means at all, but I'm making up that what Tosis might mean, one of you suggested before that because all the schach falls into place, that's why it's better. Maybe that's the pshat, or maybe the pshat is that it's not so much that you have to build the sukkah, that you have to do it, it's that it has to appear like you're building the sukkah. And if I am detaching the vine from the ground, it doesn't appear like I'm building it as a sukkah. It appears like I'm acting somewhere else. The yesod is that it has to be that it looks like I am making the sukkah. That's what it might mean. The idea of ni'anua, if you remember, we saw a Rashi on Yud Aleph, that Rashi says ni'anua doesn't really mean that you pick up the schach and you break the sukkah and you put it back down and you're remaking it. It's just karov l'stira, which meant that it's supposed to give the appearance like you are destroying it and rebuilding it. Again, I'm making this up. I'm totally making this up. But I'm making up that maybe what Tosfos means is that since I'm acting on the schach in the sense of I am standing on top of the ladder, that's why it's good. But whatever the pshat in Tosfos is, it doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is like a purist, and on the din d'oraisa, you have to actually place it there. Right, which is what Tosis spoke at the beginning, what the Ran feels la halacha, and that's Shulchan Aruch assumes. Tanya, looked like I cut you off. Look, you had something you wanted to say.
I'm good. I just was looking at my notes, how you had talked about Shmuel, like it just being very minimal, and that's what I was going to say.
Okay. I mean, that's sort of what we're getting at. That you don't need a full construction of the sukkah. Any minimal action is sufficient. Okay, ladies, let's go on. What is the difference between a male arrow and a female arrow?
Rachel's the engineer.
What did they teach you in Cooper Union about this?
So I actually was taught this junior year of college by one of my friends when we needed to like design like a piping system, and he was like talking about male and female fittings. And I was like, Dave, what are you talking about? but so I had that educational moment a few years ago. But basically a male fitting means that it becomes attached by being inserted into something else. While female fitting is that it becomes attached by something else being inserted into it.
Right. It's almost like convex versus concave on some level. So a male arrow, when I talk about arrow, by the way, I am talking about the wooden holder of the metal piercing thing, right? The way they used to do it is they would have like, let's say this is a bottle cap, and this is my son's little airplane. So assume they would put the arrow part on top of it. So this would be a female arrow, right? This part is female because the wood goes into it. So this would be chitzim zecharim. Chitzim nekevos would be the opposite way, which is that the metal arrow, I think that's what they did. Is this correct? That they would put like metal on top of some wood? And the question is, does it go in or, right? I mean, you said it much better than I'm saying it. So Zakti Gemara. I'm Rav Yudam Rav. Sakacha dechitzim zecharim kishera v'nekevos psula. If you use male arrows, it's kosher. Female arrows is pasul. Male arrows are kosher. Of course, the Gemara says, pshita. Mahu the tema, you should make a gezeira, zachar matu nekevos kamash malon. Nekevos a psula, pshita. If it's a female arrow, of course, it's pasul. Mahu the tema, base kibble, so lamalo, so shme kibble, kamash malon. I would have thought that a receptacle that's meant to be filled is not called a receptacle. Kamashul and the Chiddush is that still is called a receptacle. Effectively like this, a female arrow gets filled up, right? And that's why it's pasul, because there's a base kibble, right? This little inside of the bottle cap, stuff could fit in it. A female arrow, it can be mekabel. There can be a teeny bit of stuff that goes into it, and that's why it is mekabel tumah. Chitzim nekevos, the Gemara says, isn't it pashut that it's a problem? Zok the Gemara, no, because this is a base kibbol ha'asoy lemalos. Yes, it's the female arrow, meaning the arrowhead, right? Now it has a base kibbol. Now it has a receptacle, but that receptacle is intended to be filled up because the intention is that you'll put the piece of wood into that female arrowhead and fill it up. So therefore, I would have thought that it's no longer called a base kibble. Kamash malon, the chiddush is that it still is called a base kibble and it still is pasul. I had a havamina that base kibble asoy lemalos is not a base kibble. The chiddush is that a base kibble asoy lemalos is a base kibble. That's the Gemara.
Why does a base kibble make something mekabel tuma?
So the halacha is that pshutei kli eitz is not mekabel tuma. Plain pieces of wood are not mekabel tuma. The Torah says that a keli is mekabel tuma. And Chazal's definition of a keli is something that has a base kibble.
Right? That's interesting. So, they talk about bats but not being like a baseball bat not being a kosher schach because it's a keli, but it doesn't have a base kibble.
So a baseball bat is something that was constructed to do something with it, right? It is an instrument that is intended to use for some other purpose.
So we're chitzim, no?
Well, let's I gave another source in the Mishnah Brura to look at, didn't I? Yeah, Tav Resh Chaf Tes Se'if Beis in the Shulchan Aruch and the Se'if Katan Hey in the Mishnah Berurah. Right, did any of you have a chance to take a look at this? Right, what Tanya is asking is, can you use a baseball bat as Svach? So effectively, right, a baseball bat would seem to be like a Pshutei Kli Eitz, no? Seems to be a plain piece of wood. And a plain piece of wood is not Mekabel Tuma. Right? That's why the male arrow is a plain piece of wood. It's not Mekabel Tuma. The female arrow has a base kibble. It is Mekabel Tuma. That's why the female arrow can't be used as Svach. The problem is, just to the Mishnah later on Tesbavim and Aleph. The Mishnah on Tesbavim and Aleph writes, Hamekares ukaso bishpudim. If I use a spit as the sukkah, right? A spit is, you know, like if you want to roast a carbon Pesach in your backyard or something. So you take like a sharp piece of wood and... Right, you, right, what's it called, like a luau or something? What do they have in Hawaii where they like roast the pig with the apple in the mouth? Is this only in the cartoons? Okay, but you have a spit, you stick it through the pig, you stick it through the carbon Pesach, lahavdol, and then you want to use that spit. Can I use that spit as schach on my sukkah? So the Mishnah says that the spit is pasul as schach. Why is the spit pasal as schach? Right? How can the Mishnah Daf Tesvav says that a shpud, a spit, is not kosher as schach? Why not? Isn't it just a plain piece of wood? And a plain piece of wood should be kosher as schach. So the Mishnah Berurah there in Tafresh Chav Tesa if cut in hay. The Mishnah Berurah has two explanations. One explanation is that a shpud, when the Mishnah says that the spit is non-kosher, as schach, we're talking about a metal spit. A wooden spit is kosher as schach. Right? The Mishnah writes, shpudin has to be shamatachos, it has to be metal. But if it would be a wooden spit, it's not makabel tuma. Like the chitim zacharim that we have in our Gemara, like the male arrows, that since they don't have a base kibble, it's not makabel tuma. Shute kli eitz is not makabel tuma, etc. However, the Mishnah Berurah has a different suggestion in the Shar HaTzion. The Shar HaTzion over there in Os Beis writes that maybe a shpud, because it is an instrument, it's used for something, that's why it's makabel tuma, even though it doesn't have a base kibble. You see, what does base kibble do? Is base kibble a necessary component to make something a keli? Or is base kibble just a simen that it's a keli? Is it a siba? Is it the cause? That the reason why it's a keli is because it has a base kibble, because it can receive stuff? Or do I say no? It's not a... See, but it's a simen. It shows that it's usable. The Elia Rabba that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting over there in the Shar HaTzion, the Elia Rabba is saying that a spit is not kosher eschach because it's an instrument. It's a usable thing. Anything that's usable, that has a purpose, cannot be a kosher eschach. So that would be the answer to your baseball bat, Shaila. No? A baseball bat is an instrument. And maybe that's why it's puzzle as stuff. Maybe. Again, I'm just reading this Mishnah Berurah here in Tafresh Chaf Tes Os Hey. Of course, this explanation of being an instrument would not help in our Gemara. Because our Gemara, the male arrow, is also an instrument. How come it's kosher?
maybe it's the arrow head that's the instrument, and the other thing isn't really the instrument.
Oh, you're saying that this is just a holder?
Maybe.
Maybe. As opposed to the spit, where you use the actual spit itself, that's the usable thing. Over here, it's just a holder for the usable thing, for the arrowhead. Perhaps. Don't know. But again, I think you're right. I think we assume that you cannot use a baseball bat to be schach. And we're just trying to figure out why. Here, let me talk for 2 minutes about base kibol ha'asui l'malos. Right? The conclusion of our Gemara is that even though you're going to fill it in, right, the chitzim nekevos is posel aschach, even though it will be filled in, you'll fill it up with the arrowhead, still it remains posel as schach. Base kibol asui l'malos is still posel. Tosfos and all the Rishonim are bothered by like a million contradictions. We have, did any of you do this Tosfos Mahu? Did I assign this Tosfos? I don't remember what I assigned or not. I have to look at the sources.
You did assign it, but we'll admit that we did not get to it.
Okay, so the fact that you didn't get to it is fine. It's also really hard. Basically, Tosfos is bothered by a bunch of questions that we see many places in Shas, that even though something is filled in, it remains a right. We're saying that base kibol ha'asui l'malos is considered a base kibol. It still is mekabel tuma. The problem is that elsewhere in Shas, there's a discussion like about a ball. A ball is a leather, right? People know what a ball is. It's like a leather round thing that you fill up with other stuff. Is the ball mekabel tuma? Is a base kibol ha'asui l'malos? According to the conclusion of our Gemara, Beis kibol asui l'malos is mekabel tuma. But we say over there that it is not mekabel tuma. There's basically a huge stira in Gemaras where the beis kibol that will be filled up is mekabel tuma or not. One of the suggestions is that if the item is intended to be filled, it is mekabel tuma. But once it's filled, it's not mekabel tuma. And that will resolve all the contradictions Tosfos asks. Now, why is this relevant? This is relevant because I think it has to do with the question of opening soda cans on Shabbos, no? Can you be considered a keli when you are filled? Isn't that the question? Base kibol ha'asui l'malos. Right? I have this female arrow. It's a base kibol, but it's going to be filled up soon. So is it mekabel tuma? That's the question our Gemara. Once it's full already, is it mekabel tuma? There are some who say, well, when it's meant to be filled, it still is mekabel tuma. But once it's already filled in, then it is not mekabel tuma. Well, if it's not mekabel tuma, that means it's not a kli. If it's not a kli, so then when I open the soda can on Shabbos, I'm making it a kli. Right? These, again, I know this is like technical and, pardon me, really boring. But at the same time, it can be relevant, because the question as to whether you can be a keli, if you have a receptacle now, but it's going to be filled in, and the question of something that is already filled in, does it remain a keli? That's exactly the question of opening soda cans on Shabbos. There's a big discussion in the poskim. Tamar, you look extremely confused.
No, I don't know if it makes a difference and if maybe we misunderstood, but I think when we read the Gemara, we understood that it's not just that it's a receptacle, but once it's like a irreversibly filled, like once the arrow and the shaft go together, it's not something that you keep reusing.
Permanently attached.
It's a permanent linkage.
Tosfos does not say that. If you look in this Tosfos Mahu, like six lines before the end of the Tosfos, one, two, three, four, five lines before the end of the Tosfos, Tosfos writes, Lefisha pa'amim shenotlin habarzal min ha'eitz. Now, I think Tosfos is saying that they would save their arrowheads. Isn't this a thing that like people go and they like find arrowheads on like battlefields, right?
Yeah.
Tosfos is saying that they would reuse it. But again, I'm just trying to paint a broad picture over here without coming to any conclusions. But I think this conversation about when something is now a receptacle, but will be filled in later on, does it still have the din of a base kibble? That could be relevant for all of these questions of soda cans or bottles, right? Some of the posts say that you're not allowed to open a bottle cap on Shabbos, right? Some posts can say you can, some say you can't. Some distinguish between metal bottle caps and plastic bottle caps. One of the svaras why the poskim are makel on a plastic bottle cap is they say, well, you're not making the cap when you unscrew it because it was made beforehand. In the factory, you have a soda bottle, it says vintage, it's beautiful, and then you put the cap on. This was a cap beforehand, now you put it on the bottle. So you're not making the cap when you unscrew it. On the other hand, right, according to our Gemara, something that is made only to go on top of something else and to be filled in, maybe it's not considered a keli at that point. That is something very much like base kibble ha'asoy lamalos. So this question, the Achronim discuss in Hilchos Shabbos, the Chazon Ish holds that opening a soda can is bona. Many assume that it's soser. These conversations are just relevant begadol to what we're learning. That's the point I wanted to bring out. Okay, ladies. Questions?
I have a question on that.
Yes.
I know this wasn't like the like focus point, but when we're talking about making a soda can into kli by opening it, I know this is getting like technical, like, are we like, there's still a full volume of soda in said can at the time that you're opening it and making it to a kli. So even what at the moment that it has kli potential, quote, because the cap is removed, like the contents are still full technically.
So I think that's correct. I think the contents are full, but the contents were also inaccessible until I removed that cap. Right now there is soda in this, but I can't get it because there's a stupid cap on top. Only when I take the cap off, now I really have soda in the sense of now it's useful. It's not useful because the cap is on it.
So you're saying the actual beverage isn't useful or the vessel containing the beverage isn't useful?
I mean,
both?
There's both. I think you could look at it in both ways. Maybe the vessel is not a vessel because it's full, right? And it's sealed. And maybe the contents of the vessel are not accessible.
Something that's interesting. Yeah, I was only thinking about it in terms of like the vessel and not about the content factor.
Right. Again, I don't know. And this is one of those sugyas, honestly, I never fully got an understanding of this question of opening caps on Shabbos or not. Like, I don't have, there's a lot of sugyas on Hilchos Shabbos I have my own opinions on already. This one, I have no idea. Like, whatever you want, it's good enough, whatever. I just don't know. Okay. Again, I try to open my bottle caps before Shabbos, but it's not like a matter of conviction. It's like, I don't know. It's like, okay, Chevra,
I still have a question though on the, what are the, what does the hava mean? Of like, what is the implication of now this can't be rendered makabel, now this is not makabel tuma once I've opened it?
If base kibbal ha'asai, well, again, if it was a container beforehand, when the cap is on it, so when I open it up, I'm not making it a container, because it was a container even though it was full.
Okay.
Right. In other words, the question really is whether the definition of a container has to be something that's usable, something you could put stuff into it. That's the way I'm understanding this question. But again, I'm not sure.
Then you drink all the soda on Shabbos and now it's usable. So does it change its status? Like now it's no longer full.
Well, again, if I assume that it was not a keli because it's not usable, then when I open it, I make it a keli. So whether I drink all the soda or I don't drink all the soda, I made it a keli when I opened it.
No, but if it's like that ball that's totally full and it can't be makabel tuma, and the fact that it's full means it's okay. So I open it and then I drink it all.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that gets into the issue that Tamar was saying. I think the ball is permanently stuffed, as opposed to the soda is not permanently stuck in the soda bottle. Okay. Have a good evening, Chevra. Thank you for coming to learn. Kotov.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rabbi. Thank you.